Can Egypt's economy handle another round of violence?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Egypt's stock market was down more than 5% at the start of trading today, following violence on the streets of Cairo between Muslims, Christians, and security forces. It's one of the worst cases of rioting there since last February's revolution, and that's amplified uncertainty about Egypt's economy. Reporter Julia Simon is with us now from Cairo to talk about it. Hey, Julia.
Hi, good morning.
How has the Egyptian economy been doing lately?
Well, amidst all the violence in recent months here, there are still American investors interested, and the American Chamber of Commerce is actually promoting investment in the country. But it's still a really difficult sell. One of the things that's holding back economic growth is the Mubarak regime racked up a lot of debt. Now 22% of the country's spending goes to paying off foreign loans. And Egypt's public debt is about 80% of GDP. And with all the political uncertainty, last week, Fitch Ratings Agency downgraded Egypt's long-term credit, making borrowing even harder. And, of course, tourism's having really a lot of trouble as well.
I can imagine. I mean, how can the economy withstand all this continued turmoil and uncertainty?
Well, it's not exactly clear at this point. Back in June, Egypt's finance minister rejected a loan from the IMF for $3 billion, mainly for nationalistic reasons. Egypt's new government didn't want to be seen as being dependent on the IMF, the World Bank, and also these Gulf countries had promised a lot of money to Egypt. But now much of this Gulf money hasn't come through yet, and so the new finance minister, he's reconsidering the IMF loan. And we expect an IMF delegation to visit soon to discuss borrowing.
All right, Julia Simon reporting from Cairo. Julia, thanks.
Thank you.
Here at home, the Obama administration's hoping to get at least $1 trillion of new foreign investment here in the U.S. over the next 5 years. That's according to today's Wall Street Journal. But as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports, it could be a hard goal to reach.
The White House is looking at ways to encourage foreign companies to invest here by doing things like getting American embassy officials abroad to look for foreign partners. Traditionally, they've focused on getting foreign customers to buy American goods. Jason Carrion is an editor at the Economist Intelligence Unit. He says this new strategy could be a tough sell.
Simply in terms of the amount of revenue growth you can get, there will be better prospects elsewhere.
He says places like China and India may be more attractive to foreign companies. Besides growth, he says the U.S. may be behind in other ways, too.
In terms of things like the levels of education and the quality of the infrastructure, I think that foreign CEOs perhaps might not be so kind with their assessment.
And there are regulatory challenges, too, including the political situation in an election year. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly higher right now, average of about 0.5%. After a big meeting yesterday, German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Nicolas Sarkozy say they'll release detailed responses to the European debt crisis by the end of the month. And that includes a plan to ensure European banks have enough capital to survive. Wall Street Friday markets gave back a little. The Dow was off 20 points to end the day at 11,103. But for the week, markets were up about 1.5% to 3%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
I don't think anyone's going to dispute the fact that our economy is out of sorts, certainly off its A game. But whether or not we're in a recession may be just a technicality at this point. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us now. This is his take on it this morning. Morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
The economy's already in the tank. I mean, why does anyone care if we're in a recession?
Well, I don't know if people care, but the one thing I can tell you is it's going to take a long time to find out if, in fact, we're in a recession now. We won't know for probably at least a year and maybe longer.
Well, I mean, what's the official definition of a recession?
it's whatever something called the Business Cycle Dating Committee says is a recession.
That's not what it sounds like, I'm sure.
No, it is not an internet pickup operation. It's a bunch of very serious and pretty nice and smart economists working out of something called the National Bureau of Economic Research.
Who is so obsessed about these definitions? I mean, does it really matter? People are hurting. They're, you know, the jobs aren't being created as fast as they should. I mean, the economy is not doing very well.
No, I think that's clear. But if you're looking for someone to blame, I think you and I can probably look in the mirror and a whole lot of our colleagues, because you've got to have something to talk about. So we talk about, are we in a recession? Are we not in a recession? And A, we're not going to find out for a long time. And B, what good does it, you know, unless you're a politician, what difference does it make? You already know the situation.
You know, Alan, we may not technically be in a recession, but will we be sometime soon?
Well, who knows? Maybe we're in a recession now. Maybe we aren't. You'll be glad to know that the end of the last recession, which the committee decided ended in June of 2009, they announced that in September of 2010, which was 15 months later. So ask me in 13 months whether we're in a recession now, and I'll have an answer for you.
We'll have to go to the dating committee. So,
hey, I'm a married man. You be careful.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, while the economy is not doing so hot, the National Retail Federation says Halloween spending is. Americans will shell out nearly $7 billion on Halloween this year, spending an average of $72 on doling out candy, putting up decorations, and of course, dressing up. The price comparison website sortprice.com says superhero costumes are among the most popular this year, along with Angry Birds and zombies. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Online at marketplace.org, you can grab the podcast there and check the numbers throughout the day. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Small towns aren't competing with cities anymore. Instead, they're partnering up. Give a little, get a little.
People today look at Des Moines as being an asset instead of being detrimental.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Small towns, big towns, they're making it work. That story and today's business news next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.